And I hate to find out I'm not going to be able to smoke in my room tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. All right. It's good to be here, and I've enjoyed the meal and enjoyed the preaching this afternoon. Got here a little. Well, you better cut me down a little bit. I'll blow the circuit out in a second. You might ought to do that. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and I appreciate Brother Jarvis inviting us again this year to come and share in the Jubilee. And it is my honor. And Brother, could I do something? Could I recognize the men of God that are here? I'd like to, you know, I don't know all of you that well, and I'd like how all the men of God stand. Let's hear who you are and where you're from. Can we do that, preacher? Is that all right with you? Please stand up and do that. Let's do that for a moment. I'll tell you, I love preachers, and that's what this meeting's all about. So let's start over here with a young man on this. Bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen, brother. Now, you got a Mount Sinai in West Columbia? Hey, I thought I was the only Mount Sinai Baptist Church that was white in the whole state of South Carolina. There's a lot of black Mount Sinai Baptist Church. Hey, go ahead, brother. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Good to have you, brother. Good to see you, brother. Good to have you, brother. Amen. Kayser, where is that at? Grand Ole Opry don't get there to Sunday morning, right? All right, bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Friday, brother. To Blair, Nebraska. Wonderful, brother. Amen, brother. God bless you. The Rackley brothers. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. What's right here, brother? God bless you, brother Ellis. God bless you, brother. Amen, brother. All right, brother. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Amen, brother. Packlet. Amen. I like that name. Resurrection. There's plenty of Baptist churches that need a resurrection. I guarantee you. God bless you, brother. Amen, brother. God bless you. Any of y'all surrendered to preach up here? In the. Amen. Anybody else up there feel led to call? Did anybody wake up this morning not wanting to get out of bed and craving chicken? Might be a good indication. All right. Well, I do appreciate getting to meet all these preachers. I really appreciate it. And you men of God pray for us. I want to be a blessing. Brother Mullins was such a blessing this afternoon. And I'll tell you, if you didn't get to hear that message, you ought to get that CD. It was such a blessing. Appreciate it. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. I committed that to memory years ago. I love that passage of the Word of God. Of course, it's all precious. Isn't it good? I want you to take your Bible tonight. Turn with us to the book of Job. The book of Job. I want to preach tonight from really just a word. But I want you to look in chapter 19, and of course I want to read this wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. It's so precious. And boy, I'm telling you what, you can really get blessed just by reading this, and I want to read it. But I want to lift one phrase, just one word, and expound a while on it tonight. I feel like it's what the Lord wants me to preach tonight. That's Job chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 23 down through verse 27, very familiar and beloved portion of the book of Job. Let's stand together, please, all over the house, in reverence, if you're able to stand, to the reading of the Word of God. Job 19 and verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall, I like that. I'm going to get a scene, Brother Mullins. Woo! Amen. I like that. Amen. In my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I bow in your presence, I want to thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be in the house of the Lord tonight. These precious men of God, pastors from various parts of the country, new faces that we've not seen, some old friends that we are making reacquaintance with. We thank you for the men of God. Lord, I'm glad for the preachers because you chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I'm so glad you sent a preacher my way one day with that anointed word, God, that lodged in my heart and brought me to Christ. Lord, I ask you tonight to help me to be able to be a blessing to them. And not only them, but all these that are gathered here tonight. So many individuals with different needs. And Lord, I know you're able to suit a blessing to every heart. I commit myself into thy hand and ask you to take us and use us tonight. But I know you can't use me if I got anything in me that's unholy or ungodly. So I bow, Lord, and ask you to search me right now. Purge Rudy Smith from any sin, any lust, any wicked thought, any arrogance, any foolish jest, any way I've grieved thee in any way, in thought, in deed, omission or commission. I plead the blood of Jesus and ask you, God, to cleanse us and clear us. And ask you, God, tonight to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd let us get touched by the power of God tonight so we can minister the Word of God effectually. That Lord, you get the glory for everything that's said and done. We'll praise you for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you and be seated. In verse 25, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I'm interested tonight in that word, Redeemer. Redeemer. And I really want to do a study, just a word study. This is not so much an exposition as it is a topical exposition. But I want you to think about the term Redeemer as it appears in this text. Now, this word, and please pardon me, I'm not trying to correct or mend the King James whatsoever. I appreciate the authorized King James Bible. That's all I ever preach. Say amen right there. But I do have a good Strong's Concordance, and I think it's all right to look up some of these words or where they came from in the original language, in the original manuscripts, and of course, as I look up this word, Redeemer, and all we preachers have done any study know that it translates the Hebrew word Ge'el.
It's G-A-A-L is the English spelling of the Hebrew term. And that word Gael is found over 100 times in the Old Testament. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, Gael is a primitive root that means to redeem according to the Oriental law of kinship. That is, to be next to kin to. And as such, to buy back a relative's property or marry his widow, etc. It also means to deliver. It means to do or perform the part of a near kinsman. It also means to purchase, to ransom, to redeem. It is translated redeemer in our text. Also, this word translates into the word avenge and revenge. Avenger and revenger. Now, as I want to look at this term tonight about the Redeemer, I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, on this thought. Another side of redemption. Another side of redemption. Now, it is a fact that Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament Gael as being our kinsman redeemer. And most emphasis is put upon Him redeeming our souls, and that rightly so. That should be the major message of our lives. It's heralding our Redeemer. Thank God for redemption's plan. Amen. And I'm glad I have somebody that came and laid His life down, a ransom for my soul. And I praise Him for it. But as I look at the term Gael, it not only translates into Redeemer, but it also translates into Revenger and Avenger. And so I want to get to that in a little bit on another side of redemption. Now, I don't want to bore you with a lot of facts, but to lay the groundwork for this message, this word Gael, the Hebrew term, is translated 50 times as the word redeem in your Bible. In your King James Bible, it is translated 18 times as redeemer. It is translated 13 times as simply the term kinsman. It is translated twice in your King James Bible as ransom, once as deliver. 7 times it is translated revenger, and 6 times it is translated avenger. And so, most all of those we expound on, but I haven't heard a lot of preaching about the last two aspects of the work of the kinsman redeemer, which is the matter of revenge and avenging the wrath of God. I want to tell you, He came the first time to bleed and die. But when He comes again to planet Earth, He's coming, my friend, to mete out the wrath of God and to trample out the winepress. Amen. Yes, sir. But anyway, we want to talk about that other side of redemption. Now, in our text verse, Job, it's got a prophetic glimpse here of the Gael, the Redeemer, standing in the latter day upon the earth. But this time, He's not come to redeem, But in His second coming, He's coming to revenge. And He's coming to recompense. Amen. There's a sharp two-edged sword that proceeds out of His mouth. He will tread the winepress of the wrath of God. He'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. I want to tell you, this too is a part of God's redemption program. It is another side of redemption that you don't hear much about. Now, I'll explain more about that as we get further in the message. But Gael, remember that, not only means to redeem, but also it means a kinsman to avenge or revenge. Let me show you a place, if I may, if you want to look at where this word appears that's translated as revenge in the book of Numbers chapter 33 and verse 19. You have it translated as revenger. Same word in the Hebrew as the word redeemer in our text. It is translated in 5 and verse 19 as revenger. It says there, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. Now, what's behind that is this. If in a city there was one raised up against another and murder him, they didn't have a sheriff to go after him necessarily, but the one that was nearest kin to the one who had been murdered was to take it on himself to see to it that justice and judgment was meted out and that revenge, and he was called an avenger of blood. Now, if that person accidentally murdered or caused the death of his neighbor, the provision was made for him to flee to the city of refuge. And there were six cities of refuge in the promised land. And it was a place for them to go and stand before the elders and plead the case. And if that person was found that it was not premeditated, it was an accidental death, then he was to continue to abide in that city for the rest of the days until the death of the high priest. Then he could go home. But if he ever left back, that avenger of blood could take and slay him and do so without transgressing the law of God. And so that's part of the... Now, I thought about that. I'm glad I found a city of refuge. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I found a hiding place. Amen. And you know what? The refuge I've found is going to be good as long as my high priest liveth. I ain't going to ever have to leave the city of refuge. My he ever liveth. Well, praise God for that. Well, anywhere there you see the word, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. Well, I want to get to that in just a moment. But before I do, I want to explore this word a little further and take a survey, if you'll pardon me for a while, on this subject of the Gael or the kinsman redeemer. Now, do a Bible study with me, and you might want to jot some of these things down, and I want you to think about them. First of all, when you think about the work of the Gael, it is, first of all, a work of a relative. The work of a relative. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, as you study the word throughout the Old Testament, the emphasis of kinship applies to all the facets of the work of the Gael. In every case, in every translation, the thought of kinship readily applies to all of that. In the book of Isaiah, 12 times, Jehovah is referred to as the Gael, the Redeemer. And I thought that interesting. just one place. Let me just read one of those. Isaiah 47:4. As for our Redeemer, there it is, as for our Gael, the Lord, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Anytime you see that in your King James Bible, it translates the word Jehovah. Also, capital G and capital O and capital D can do the same. But this is Jehovah. As for our Redeemer, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Now wait a minute. If Jehovah is referred to as being our Redeemer, then it must follow suit that for Him to be so, He would have to become kin to us. And that's exactly what He did. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. God sent His Son, my friend, into the world. He sent Him in the likeness of sinful flesh. For, amen, He didn't have any sin. He didn't do any sin. He didn't think any sin. He never disappointed His Father in any way. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Holy, holy, holy. He's holy. Amen. But He took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. For we have not a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I'm telling you what, He didn't take on Him the nature of angels or animal. He took upon Him, my friend, I'll tell you what, He took upon Himself the likeness of our flesh. He was, I preached it, you know, last time, I think the first time I preached on, when I preached here, I dealt with this with length. Jesus wept. He was man enough to weep, but He was God enough to raise Lazarus from the dead. Both His humanity and His deity is essential to our redemption. If He just stayed God and never become kin to us, we could not have a Gael, a Redeemer, to buy us back. But God became man. Woo! I'm feeling something in my soul. I'm telling you, out of the ivory palaces, He laid aside His glory, not His deity. And He came, my friend, into this world with a humble beginning. And my friend, He took upon Himself the likeness, amen, of sinful flesh. Got His body from His mother, His blood from His daddy. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's Him. He came kin to us. And that's, I'm glad I got a kinsman. So it is the work of a relative. Gael is a work of the relatives. Number two, it's a work of rescue. Now, in Bible hermeneutics and in Bible study, there's what is known as the law of first mention. And you go and find, where does this word first appear, the word Gael, translated in the Bible? Well, it is in the book of Genesis, chapter 48, and verse number 16. And here we have Jacob giving his testimony. And he says here, the angel, and that's capital A in G-E-L, and I believe this to be a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Christ. I believe that's exactly what He's referred to as the angel here. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads. And that's where he had his hands on the sons, you know, of Joseph. And boy, I'll tell you, Brother Ronnie Simpson's got a message I want to study on. I've been thinking about it. Hey, fellas here, you want a good thought to think of? Brother Ronnie's got a message on when God crosses His hands. Yeah, You see, he had one on the right. I mean, Jacob tried to guide the hands and put his hand on the older, his right hand on the older, and his left hand on the younger. But I'll tell you, Jacob crossed his hands. A lot of times things turn out different than we thought they ought to. But God knows what's best. Sometimes God sure crosses his hands. Well, y'all take that home, work that out, praise God, and send Brother Ronnie $5. Amen. But anyway, as I look at the first occurrence of this word, it has the connotation, of course, of kinship, but also the connotation of rescue. Not only related, but rescue. Rescue, the angel which redeemed me, which rescued me from all evil. Amen. And from the very start in the Bible, the word redeemed has the connotation of deliverance or rescue. I'm glad I have a deliverer. They sang a while ago, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen. That word saved means delivered. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. I thank God. And it's still the blood, by the way. And so the work of the Gael involves a relative. It involves rescue. By the way, Psalms 103 and verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. He rescued my soul. He rescued me. I was headed to hell wide open, but He rescued my soul. The work of rescue. Number three, not only is the work of the Gael the work of a relative, the work of rescue, but it is the work of redemption. Now, in the sense of buying back, Now, you know, when you think about buying back, well, let me read in Leviticus 25, a couple of verses here in verse 25. Here's where you kind of get it. You see, before God really establishes the doctrine, He gives us pictures and types and a foundation so we can get a hold of it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm probably laying a foundation tonight for a skyscraper, but if I ain't careful, I'll put a clapboard shack on it. I've done that a lot of times, fellas. But anyhow, I want you to see now, here in Leviticus 25, if thy brother be waxen poor, and have sold away some of his possession. And if any of his kin, now notice that, come to redeem it. What's that mean? To buy it back. He sold it away, but they come to redeem it. Then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. In other words, he's to buy back that which his brother has sold. And so you have this word, redeemer, the Gael. It is a matter of being a relative. It's a matter of rescue. It's a matter of redemption or to buy back. Now, along this same line of paying a price to buy back is also seen the work of ransom. Not only to buy back, but to he not only redeems, but he ransoms. He ransoms. Now, in the book of Jeremiah 31 and verse 11, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. That word ransom translates the word Gael. I'm glad that he paid the price to ransom me. Yes, he did. He ransomed me. I'm telling you what, he did more than go my bail. He paid the penalty. He paid the cost. He paid it all upon the cross. In Leviticus 25, where I was reading a while ago, there's a scenario that's presented here. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. They can ransom him. They can pay to set him free. And hallelujah. And this is where you get my friend down into the New Testament. Redeemed, set free by the payment of the price. He's ransomed my soul. He paid the penalty for my salvation. He paid for my crimes. He suffered for my sin. He tasted for my death. He suffered my hell. Those spikes ought to have been in me. I should have died. I should have been crucified. I should have went to hell. But He took my place. As I was reading there, Leviticus, as the Goel ransomed his kinsmen from the bondage to the foreigner. So you might think that mankind sold himself into Satan's bondage. Yes, we were in bondage to Satan. But Jesus, hallelujah, had the ransom price. Yes, that would buy us back and ransom our soul. He set me free. Come down to the New Testament. In 1 Peter 1, he said, you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as sealed from your vain conversation received by tradition from the elders, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. The word redeemed there is the Greek term lutro. And what lutro means is to set free by paying a price. Hey, I've been set free because Jesus went my bail, paid my fine, justified me by His own blood. Thank God, I'm free. And though you were redeemed, that verb, you know, is joined by two other words in the Greek that are translated redeemed. There is the term agerizo. And agerizo in the Greek, now this is the New Testament, agerizo for redeemed means to purchase in the market. Amen. That's what it means. To purchase in the market. I think the allusion there may be to Hosea with Gomer on the auction block of sin. I'm telling you, he came down to the market. Amen. Can I tell you, God didn't save me from a distance. He came down here where I'm at. He came down to this world. He walked the dusty roads of this world. He came to the market. Amen. Old Squire Parsons wrote, I wish I had a voice enough to say, He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Woo! That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. Hey, to purchase in the market. Lutro, to set free by paying a price. A garrison to purchase in the market. But then there's another word for redeemed, the verb redeemed in the New Testament. It has a little prefix to it. It's ex agerizo. And ex agerizo means this. Purchase in the market to take out. Woo! He didn't buy me to leave me like I was. He come to set me free and to take me out. I'm off the block. I'm off the auction block. I belong to Him. I'm redeemed. Woo! Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been redeemed. somebody came with the ransom to ransom my soul. And the ransom price he had was not silver and gold, was not animal, was not sheep or goat or oxen or pigeon or turtle dove. But what he ransomed our soul with was with the very blood of Almighty God. It was the blood of God that pulsated in his veins. We're redeemed with precious blood. It's still the blood. Some of this crowd, I don't like that old slaughterhouse religion. Hey. I like the way John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I'm glad I am justified freely by faith in His blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. One day, and I may have said this before, but that's all right. One day I was meditating upon this thing of redemption, of buying back and ransoming, paying the price to set free. And I said to myself, we're redeemed with the precious blood. And I asked myself this question, is there anything more precious than the blood of Jesus? And I got to thinking about something. Well, that's my first reaction. Now listen to me. This is almost too holy to think about. This thing of redemption is a bartering term to pay the price for something. You go to Walmart and you find a pack of handkerchiefs, 12-pack, sometimes they're $5. So, you know, they got 13 now sometimes for $5. Boy, we preachers need those snot rags. We got to have them, man. And y'all better be glad we have them, bless God. Especially these first three or four rolls. Amen? But it dawned on me one day. You know, I go there at Walmart, and let's just say I find a handkerchief there or a pack of handkerchiefs there, and, you know, it's got that price on it. And I may have done this before, but it's got that price. Let's say one hanker. And it's a dollar. And I got a dollar. And there's that handkerchief. So there's that handkerchief. It's a dollar. And I got the price. I get to thinking about that. Do I want the dollar? Or do I want the merchandise? Where are you going? Hang on. Now listen. Hey, to me, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Christ. But he thought there was something more precious. For Hebrews tells us, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Hey, what was the joy? It was saving you and saving me. What I'm saying is, he thought the church was worth the price. And in the mind of God, we are worth the price. Bless God, our salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs God everything. But God Almighty thought we were worth it. He thought we were worth it. Woohoo! If God could have dug up every diamond and every piece of silver and gold, if that could have ransomed our soul, don't you think He'd rather give Him that than to give Him the blood of His own Son? If God could have slayed every clean animal, and my friend, if that could have purchased our soul, don't you think God would have rather had that? But there was only one thing, the blood of a kinsman, the blood of a kinsman. And thank God, He said, "Father, I'll go." And as the song says, and I'll pay their price in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save anybody who is sin sick and lost. It's still the blood set free by blood. Christian, you don't have to go around act like you're some kind of second-class citizen. I'm telling you, bless God. God give everything He has. He give it all. I'm telling you, it was no cheap price that God Almighty paid. He gave it all. Jesus paid it all. He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Glad He loved the world, and He gave. But it blesses me to know He loved me. He loved the church. Christ, husband, loved your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Amen. Paul said it like this, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. For perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm glad He came. I'm glad He came down here and in this market. But He come to purchase us, to take us out of the market. Hallelujah. And back to His home. Whew. That's enough to make an Episcopalian shout out the back of their choir robe. A work of redemption. A work of ransom. Now, let me go another step with this. The Gael is not only a work of ransom and redemption, but it's also involves a work of regeneration. Now, where you get that from in the book of Ruth? In the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 9, you have it translated as a near kinsman. Amen. Oh, Boaz was a Gael. Amen? He was a Gael. A near kinsman. And in chapter 4, in verse 4, redeem, is there the same word? In Ruth chapter 3 and 4, it has been inferred that among the duties of the Gael was that of marrying the widow of a deceased kinsman to keep the family name alive. Now, if I've got two brothers, but if this was back in Bible days and my younger brother married and he died without having any children, then one of the near kinsmen, one of the other brothers, was to take and marry that widow and have children by her, and the first of them was to carry on the family name of the one that had deceased. Trying to make it as simple as I can. Now, how do you see? So what I'm saying is, instead of the ending of a generation, when that guy died childless, the Gael would come, and hallelujah, by his intervention, there would be the beginning of a new generation, a regeneration. I'm glad I've been redeemed and I've been regenerated by the work of my heavenly Gael. Well, so much for the introduction. For a few minutes now, really, I want you to think about this, number 6. Not only does the Gael involve these aforementioned things, but it also involves the work of revenge. And this is what I was titled the message tonight, Another Side of Redemption. Another Side of Redemption. Romans 12:19, God said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Now, I haven't heard a lot of preaching on this, so you brethren may want to help me after a while. That's all right. I'm getting old now. I'm going to be 61 Saturday. Going to be 61. I hope I make it, brother. 61. I'm getting old, man. Praise God. You ain't no spring chicken yourself.
Matter of fact, I saw the pastor. I come in here tonight. I looked at him. I said, man, you done got gray around the gills. That's what Pastor and Baptist will do for you. Praise God. Some of y'all hadn't turned gray. You turned loose. Somebody said hair came in four stages. Started out with bald, come out to fuzz, hair, and was. Some of y'all at that was stage. Hey, brother, turn your head a little bit. That light's kind of glaring right there. Will you? The work of revenge. Now, back in the study now, this word. In Numbers 35 and 19, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. That was God. God didn't say, put him in a padded a cell with plush carpet and a colored TV. And hello, and pool tables for 14 years. Costing the taxpayer untold money. God meant for the murderer to be slain. This Bible teaches capital punishment, friends. Well, I just throwed that in for good measure. Just good measure. Now, this brings me to think on the other side of redemption. Now, this word, the revenger of blood himself, check it out in your Strong's. The word revenger is the same word redeemer in our text in Job. And like I said, seven times, I think, revenge and six avenge or vice versa. And so this is a part of the work of the Gael. Now this brings me to think about this. My friend, that there is another side. Redemption is not done yet. He ain't done. Hey, you and I have been saved, sealed, hallelujah, preserved, not pickled, preserved, kept. Amen. And there's nothing to be added to what He did for us. I'm going to make it home by blood. All these other religions is do, 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 do. Hello? I might have emphasized them last two a little strong. But, for those of us who believe in grace, it's not due, it's done. It's done! 'Tis done! The great transaction's done! Now, He paid all that needed to be paid to secure our eternal soul, but God's redemption plan is not yet consummated and complete because He came the first time to lay His life down as a ransom. But He's coming again. He came the first time as a lamb, dumb before her shearers. But He's coming the next time as a roaring lion to bring vengeance, my friend, on the God-hater and the God-denier. I'm telling you what, bless God, Satan has been the little G-O-D of this world for too long. But our Lord and our King is a coming back, bless God. He's a coming back to take, I'm telling you what, hey, the scepter of His power and set upon this earth and rule it with a rod of iron and cast the devil into hell. He ain't done yet. Hey. As you think about another side of redemption, it includes the destruction of Satan. The Goel avenged the death. Remember that verse I just read? The Gael was to avenge the death of his slain kinsman. And it was done so as a point of honor. So Christ, our Gael, our Redeemer, the Bible says, in Hebrews, through death hath destroyed him, Satan, who has the power of death. And of Satan it is said that he was a murderer from the beginning. And he hath the power of death.
But I'm telling you what, Jesus, by the death on an old rugged cross, hallelujah, laid a fatal blow to the devil and his power. And He's destroyed the devil, hallelujah, by His own death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, that is Christ, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I'm telling you what, hey, he's a defeated foe. He don't know it, maybe does know it more than we realize it. But I'm telling you what, the fatal blow was laid when Jesus got up out of the grave and put His foot down on the devil's head and cried, I am He that was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And through His death, His burial, His resurrection, He has destroyed. And my friend, I'm telling you, the devil is living on borrowed time. Victory was won at Calvary. We don't have to fight to win. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. If you ever see that, bless God, you'll have a spell. The work of revenge, the destruction of Satan. Another thing is the damnation of sinners. I want to tell you something. Now listen to me carefully. You have to follow me closely, and I'm not going to be that much longer. I want you to think about the blood that saves you and I. We that have come to Christ will also damn the Christ denier and the Christ rejecter. The same blood that saves us will damn them. Now you're looking at me kind of strange. Believer is saved by precious blood of Christ our Gael. But on the other hand, the unbeliever will be damned because he has trampled underfoot the blood of Christ and counted it as an unclean thing. You know, God don't just send folk to hell because they're sinners. We're all sinners. I mean, we all still are in the flesh. We're sinners. But what God will do, it'll have no trouble doing, is that person who has trampled underfoot the blood of Christ and said no to Jesus, no to God's unspeakable gift, and rejected God's salvation. I'll tell you what, that avenger, he's coming back. I'm telling you what, he's coming back to bring vengeance because it belongs to him. By the way, this kind of illustrated, I saw this years ago, Brother Barry. This is kind of illustrated in the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea. Remember that? They come there to the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army was behind. And there's a mountain on the right hand and a mountain on the left hand. The enemy behind. And God got the glory cloud and put it between them and the enemy. And on this side it was light. Hallelujah. On that side it was a fog and darkness. What gives light to us, this world can't penetrate. Hallelujah. But God said, why are you standing here whining? Go forward. He lifted up that rod and God sent that wind and opened up a way through the Red Sea. Not the swamp. Not a sea of reeds. The Red Sea. Say amen right there. And God opened up a way where there was none. And God made a path through the Red Sea. And boy, I'm telling you what it could have been as much as 2 million Israelites. As it could have been that much. I've heard different estimates. But they were 500,000 soldiers, those that were able to, that's not counting women, children, old people, they're too old to fight. Possibly 2 million. I'm telling you, wasn't no little old bitty footpath for just to squeeze through. I'm trying to get to the other side. I hope I can hold out and make it. Bless God, He opened up a big place. You know, I like to think about things. Y'all ever think about things? The Bible tells us in the book that He turned the walls of that thing into jello. Did y'all know jello was in the Bible? Well, don't look so funny. It is so, done it. Said he could. The walls were congealed. I can just see some of them little old mean Hebrew boys coming through there. And they're standing there looking at that jello wall. And here comes a big old shark. And their eyes get real big. And he comes and boing, 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 boing. See, I don't believe that, friend. You don't get blessed, you don't believe nothing. I really believe stuff like that happened. But anyway, they got through. I'm telling you what, God opened up a way. He brought them out of Egypt. That was the way of salvation. It was by the blood. It was by the opening up of a way. But have you ever thought that the same path that led to their salvation led to the destruction of the enemy? Do you hear what I said? I'm telling you what, the blood that has set us free, God is going to require at this wicked world who has spit in the face of God and denied His Son and turned against Him and trampled underfoot His blood. And these sorry religionists who have taken blood out of the hymnal and don't want to have no slaughterhouse religion and my friend want to preach a social gospel, God's coming back with a vengeance. The Avenger is coming back. Hey, I'm almost done. I lie like that brother lied today. Y'all know when a preacher said he's almost done, he's just getting another breath. Well, we're in the same. Hey, we follow the Apostle Paul. He said, finally, wrote two more chapters. In the book of Revelation, brother and sister, you see Christ. And you see there the worthiness of the Lamb proclaimed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. In the book of Revelation, you see the washing of the Lamb. For they have washed their garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But don't forget in the book of Revelation, you have the wrath. The wrath of the Lamb. And the wicked are hiding in the dens and holes in the rock and hide our face from the wrath of the Lamb. He's coming back, bless God. He's going to set this thing right. He's going to put down evil. He's going to destroy the adversary. He's going to set up a kingdom. He's going to set up a world without a curse in it. It's going to be a glorious day when the Avenger comes and the other side of redemption is finalized and finished and the last enemy is destroyed, which is death. And thank God, I'm telling you what a day that's going to be. We'll be eternally at home and blessed, rejoicing with our heavenly Gael and thanking for the ages roll that He came down here and purchased us to take us home forever. I ain't finished, but I'm done. Let's stand for prayer. Another sign of redemption. I want to ask a question with every head bowed and every eye closed. Have you been to Jesus for the cleanser? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you don't get washed in it, it'll bring wrath on you. And the same God that poured out hell on His Son in behalf of those that would accept Him. And He tasted death for every man. I don't believe in limited atonement, like some people talk about it. I believe it's whosoever will. God knows who will and who won't. I know that. But I would say this. I had an old feller call me. You know, he's way off in hyper-Calvinism. He called me and said, well, if the blood of Jesus say, if the blood Jesus died and shed His blood, and that blood has universal... I said, that same blood that redeems will damn. That same blood
that set us free will send them to hell. And God will have no trouble sending you to hell if you have refused His Son and the blood that He shed. Have you been? I want to ask you a question. Every head bowed, eye closed. Pastor, come over here and stand with me, please. Brother Jarvis, no one looking but myself and Brother Jarvis. This is a large building. But if you're here tonight, I want to ask you, are you sure the blood's been applied to your heart? Have you been saved? If you're sure of that, raise that hand as a testimony. Raise it as a testimony. Isn't it good to be redeemed? Thank you and put it down. If there was one here tonight, say, Preacher, I'm being honest with you. Don't want you to embarrass me. Come to me, and I promise you I won't do that. But I would like to pray for you. If you're here tonight, say, Preacher, I couldn't honestly raise my hand. I don't know for sure that I've been to the fountain. I don't know for sure I've been washed in the blood. Brother Rudy, please pray for me. Is there one anywhere in the house while we're looking around that would raise your hand and just request prayer? I don't see anyone. I don't see any. Most time this is just folk are saved, these kind of meetings. I understand that. I've just tried to preach and mind the Lord. But Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and I thank You for the privilege to preach here tonight and the good time of fellowship we've had with the men of God and with these precious church. And thank You for Brother Jarvis, and thank You for Welcome Baptist Church and the heritage it has here, old-time religion. And for their trying to be a blessing to God's men. Well, I thank You, Lord, for raising this meeting up to minister to these precious men of God that are out in the trenches for God. Lord, some of them carrying heavy loads, real heavy loads. But Lord, I just pray You'd give them a little steam for the journey, God, this week. And just give them, Lord, food and encouragement and bless them, God. And let them go away from here charged up and ready to charge, Lord, the forces of hell. And God, You said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against the church. And I'm glad for that. And I pray, God, that You'd encourage them. I pray You'd bless in the furtherance of this meeting. Bless all the men of God be preaching in the tomorrow services. And Lord, we'll thank You for all that's done. Again, thank You for letting us be here and enjoy this time. Bless the Word of God and let Your people find out. Lord, let them find out a little more about how precious it is to be redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
I think I'm going to ask our musicians, if they would, to come just play a verse of invitation. But if you got a song, come on, lead us in a song. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. I want to give an invitation tonight. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, well, won't you come make use of this altar?
I'm glad I'm redeemed for
you. Amen. I don't know what the needs may be tonight, but I'm glad we do have a Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth, Job said. I don't know what your needs may be, but I know who can meet those needs. What page, Brother Joey?
368.
All right, let's get a hymn book and sing together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And you may be seated just for a moment. We have got, I'm going to send our young folks, I don't know who's supposed to go, but go if you're going. They're ready? I can't find my wife. There she is. Are we ready? All right. We've recognized already, Brother Smith recognized the preachers tonight.